If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, I'm Nick Jansen, of Holistic Health Anxiety Coach. I specialize in helping people overcome their anxiety and reclaim their lives through a holistic approach that addresses the mind, body, and the spirit. I provide personalized coaching to guide individuals towards a state of balance and well-being. Together, we'll work on developing effective coping strategies, exploring root causes, and implementing positive lifestyle changes. So say goodbye to anxiety and hello to life filled with peace and vitality. Let's embark on a transformative journey together. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to another episode on anxiety. Today, we will discuss the topic, what is shame and what is guilt? And how does that affect us, especially in anxiety? So it's a fairly long topic, and it's a fairly long topic that needs to be addressed. We need to know the difference between the two. They're almost similar, but let's look at the literature and sort of try and make sense of it. So let's go with it. Shame is deeply a painful emotional characterized by the sense of personal failure. So we can look at it. We can look at it that way. It says personal failure. That one grabbed me. Personal failure. Anything that we've done, or you're feeling unworthiness and a belief that one is fundamentally flawed. It might involve feeling of humiliation, self-consciousness, and the desire to hide or withdraw from others. I like that, hide and withdraw from others. Shame often stems from a perceived violation or a social or a personal standard and can lead to a negative image, self-image, and that can get stuck in our subconscious. That's like a self-imprisonment right there. So I think the shame can do more damage to us. It really destroys our consciousness. It really digs in and erodes us, and it actually has a lot of control. It has more control than we think, even on the subconscious level. So, being aware that's what it does. So how about guilt? Well, guilt, on the other hand, is a moral emotions that arises from belief that one has done something wrong or violated their own internal values and standards. We know when we've done something wrong. It involves feeling of remorse, regret, a sense of responsibility for one's actions. And guilt can be actually a motivator. It can motivate individuals to make amends, to seek forgiveness or be or give forgiveness or change their behavior in order to align with their moral compass. We're all internally, we all have this moral compass. We all have got our own values, and most of us are good. So keeping up with the light and goodness. So yeah, this is what feeling guilt does for us. It's when we made a mistake. So in short version, guilt is something we have done. Shame, on the other hand, is something that's done to us, or we've done for us, or also done for us, and we've we feel shameful and take things personal. Where it becomes seriously personal. So guilt and shame are really closely related here. And they have a distinct difference. Guilt is blah, blah, blah. Guilt is a feeling of remorse or responsibility for specific action behavior that is perceived as wrong and immoral. It is usually related to violation of personal values and social norms. Now, guilt often arises at specific events or situations, circumstances, and can be a motivation once again to amend, learn from mistakes, and take corrective actions. So there we go, a little bit deeper on that. Now, on the other hand, shame is a deeper and more pervasive emotion. It's pervasive and erasive to our self-being, to ourselves, and involves feeling inadequacy. And this is a trigger for a lot of us, feeling unworthy, not good enough, all this sort of stuff, or that we are flawed as a person. And then we're stuck in this area, and no wonder we're getting heaps anxiety attacks here. It's just a spiraling back to the lower energy levels. No point being here. And it kind of holds you there on a subconscious level and a conscious level. It holds us there and we can't move forward. It is a painful sense of this self-approval. How can you not love yourself? How can you disapprove yourself? It's because of shame and a belief that one is fundamentally bad or defective. Shame is not necessarily tied to a specific action, but rather to one's identity or the sense of self. Let's go a bit deeper. Now, shame often attaches itself to the shadow and a puppeteer who controls our anxiety because it feeds on our insecurities and vulnerability. I'll say it again. Shame often attaches itself to our shadow side, to our blind side. And it is a puppeteer who controls our anxiety because it feeds on our insecurities and vulnerabilities. So here it is there. There's the key. Who's got that? That is, it is a shadow. Like there's something else. There's a puppeteer that controls us. So the moment we can solve and be good with shame or good be with guilt, and there's no more puppeteering, we'll find our anxiety levels will lower down. That is one of the keys. So pay attention to everyone. Pay attention to that one. It thrives on negative self-perceptions, right? On negative or low self-esteem, and can become the powerful force in shaping our thoughts and behaviors. Shame can control anxiety by reinforcing self-doubt, fear of judgment, and the need to hide or suppress certain aspects of ourselves. While shame can be destructive, guilt can be motivation to move forward. When we feel guilty about our actions, it signifies that we recognize the impact of our behavior, okay? And guilt can serve as a moral compass. We said that. But it's important here. That's like a little summary here. It's important that both guilt and shame can have a negative effect on our well-being. If they become overwhelming or persistent, it is crucial to address these emotions in a healthy way, such as through self-reflection, journaling, seeking support from others, and practicing. Again, we might expand on the self-compassion near the end of this conversation, near this talk. So let's look, what's the difference between shame and guilt again? Guilt and shame differ different in their duration. Guilt is often transient and can be resolved through actions, behavioral change, and it goes, all that. And then it goes into, we can learn from our mistakes, right? It's designed so we can learn, so we can strive to have differently in the future, and it is a good thing. And move forward while the sense of growth and personal development. Now, I'd really like to emphasize anything about shame to get deeper in that. Shame, on the other hand, tends to lead more persistent and long-lasting. It is the trap of all traps. It is a deeply ingrained emotion in us, and it goes beyond the specific action, focuses on that. It really taps into our senses of our self and identity. We identify more with the shameful part of our life, and it's seriously a low frequency vibration chart. So be careful of that, folks. And yeah, definitely, we don't need to be shameful about anything. Shame can stem from internalized beliefs, things that, you know, wrong beliefs, wrong, okay? Our expectations, past traumas, all right? It's talking to us here and often creates a persuasive feelings of unworthiness and defectiveness as a person. It's forever recycling, cycling in our mindscape, and we need to find a way to get rid of that. And like guilt, which can be resolved through action, shame can persist even when external circumstances change. So that's always stuck with us. So isn't it worth to know that, you know, there's something we can do about this? Somewhere we can find help to, or we can do stuff. We'll come to this little part in a minute or two. Shame can become deeply rooted in us and impact on our self-esteem, self-image. Good to keep saying that. It leads to a cycle of negative perceptions, all right? Negative perception, which means we make up stories, we get stuck in anxieties, we become self-criticizing, and then we avoid any vulnerability. You know, to crack through this, we need to be able to be vulnerable. Most of us with anxiety are finding much very difficult to be vulnerable, to put themselves out there. And to overcome shame often requires self-reflection, you know, really deep search, understanding, awareness of this, and letting it go. So we need to be able to change these negative beliefs or self-limiting beliefs, and then seek support. You know, go on courses, talk to life coach, talk to anxiety coach, anyone that can help them practice self-compassion. Okay, let's go with part two. The part two, which is really interesting, we just slight little summary of what we just did before we go to how does shame and guilt affect someone with anxiety and what's the best way for them to cope with shame and guilt. Just probably repeating some of these things, but before we go, we just talked about how shame can actually be in the is a combined effort with, well, also the inner child. Can you see how the inner child of us can be really affected, can actually depending on our childhood wounds, and we are nothing more than a blueprint which has been overgenerated. Sometimes we can go living with unprocessed emotions and we can't regulate emotions. No one showed us how to do that. Our parents didn't have that ability to show us. So our inner child is pretty much affected. And every time something goes wrong or something triggers for certain environments, our inner child and shame go together. So we have to be careful of that. And we change in time and that. And this particular topic was actually thought of or inspired by, because I went to a workshop the other day, and it was all about the shame and guilt and inner child. It was a combination of the two, and how amazing that we are so attached to the shame that is have evolved over time. But the thing is, we don't see it, that the shame is just a impression of the mind or past pictures and stimulants, and that's all it is. But we think it's actually it's hidden under a deeper levels of subconscious. So someone that studied psychology and inner child work will understand that shame and guilt are so intertwined. It's a fabric of our mankind, especially in psychology. And anyone that's probably studying psychology will probably come to this chapter sooner or later, the inner child work and Freudian study too. It's important to know that We can actually be anxious avoidance because of our particular way of perceiving the environment, and we got this inner child when most of us can actually are actually anxious avoidance. We could be actually independent, but we don't know that. Or we can be super independent, still be anxious avoidance, but we're avoiding a lot of stuff because of our shame. And yeah, shame and sort of guilt that we might call at hold. So let's go and get, how does shame and guilt affect someone with anxiety, and what's the best way for them to cope with shame? So we can practice self-compassion as the key, as mentioned many times in his speech. We can move on to challenging our negative thoughts. We can go into replace negative thoughts with more realistic and compassionate ones. We can seek self-support from others and ourselves in courses like these, or even listening to this podcast. Exchange anxiety management techniques. We can learn relaxation tools, guided imagery tools, reduce anxiety symptoms, create a sense of calm and easy to cope with. We can practice acceptance, forgiveness is another key. We always hear this, how important that is for us, and that'll bring us back into the light. It's important to bring us into the light from the darkness. We can challenge perfectionism, of course, and a lot of anxiety is caused by thinking that we need to be perfect. There's no such a thing, no such thing. And if we can just challenge the belief that we have to be perfect and embrace the idea that making mistakes is normal, part of human being, and we don't need to be self-validated on that. We can focus on the present moment. Anxiety tends to make us dwell on the past. Once again, detachment of the inner child wounds and all these shameful things that go into the impressions of the mind, past and not even real. It's here, we're now. We have to learn to live in the present moment and get ourselves from practicing living away from the past. Just by practicing grounding techniques that bring you attention to the present moment, such as mindfulness meditation, and which is similar to the last podcast I did. Mindful grounding meditation activities require focused attention, even painting and gardening. Now let's have a look at, here's the truth that every experience, shame and guilt at times, is normal part of human being. Yeah, it's normal. We are normal, but we need to know the difference, be aware of it. I really think that if people understood that, they can face up to the shame and guilt they might be feeling, facing up, just being there with it. Even it might be disturbing, hard emotion, being with it, let it pass. And just let it flow through us, we'll find that things will improve. And I really think that anxiety will slow down for some people, even get rid of it to some people. So we can manage by doing all this. So let's move on. What are some strategies for coping shame and guilt? Okay, and anxiety. We already mentioned that, all those ones there. Also, I think the best key, apart from forgiveness and love, practicing self-compassion, a powerful tool for overcoming shame. So let's really dive deep into self-compassion. You can see that this straight away lights the dim light that we might have. It lights it up, and through actually cultivating, practicing compassion, cultivating empathy towards oneself. So self-compassion can involve treating oneself with the same kindness, understanding, empathy. So we keep talking about that, right? As anxiety coach, we know the value of self-compassion, having that ability to do that, to dive deep into the highest frequency, which is love. So those that are struggling, attach yourself to that, nothing else. It's only an illusion, like the song once said. When we experience shame, we often engage in self-criticism, self-harsh judgment. Man, that can take us backwards. No point living in the, like a cockroach, in the dark, or a spider, or even a mosquito that waits for the dark to come out. We want to be into the light. Then we won't get bitten as much, and then we won't go into anxiety as much. We can thrive here in the light. Let's just shift to that and and really understand and have that understanding and that compassionate mindset, recognizing mistakes and perfection part of you. Look, we're all going through some time. You might be going through some relationship issues. You might be going, usually a relationship. So to give yourself a little bit of rest, mental rest, and not to excite the emotional center of our brain. Amygdala section of our brain. Let's not do that. Let's really learn to be self-compassionate, self-loving. Yeah, even when we work with inner child work, we need to be able to see the picture. Like with me, I saw my picture when I was like 5 years of age. I wasn't a very happy child. I was actually a sad child. I was very confused, very lonely. Felt alone, and I can see the depression. So I needed to see that picture one time. But here's the deal. When I looked at the picture in the past, I ignored the expressions of my face of my inner child. So now I have a real vision of how sad my inner child within me is and how much attachment it has to shame and to guilt and the things that little child did when he was really young. And it was like, yeah, he was not a really good child to be with. My inner child was very hurt. It was abandoned and, I had a lot of... And even till this day, I love talking about it because I know that I can see the light. Because I can now nurture my inner child and its shame and its attachments and its guilt. So with guilt, I've got the possibility of motivating myself to look beyond this. You know, it's just a picture. It was just an impression of time. So we can look at breaking the shame cycle. Is often perfect, you know, by a cycle of negative self-perception, self-criticism. In the end, the avoidance of vulnerability, self-compassion interrupts the cycle of encouraging self-acceptance. We might be going through this kind of cycle thing going on. It helps us recognize experiencing shame is a universal human thing. And we're not alone. Like I said, when a child might have felt, my inner child did feel alone. It was very sad. It didn't know any different. And I'm in touch with the child. Over the years, we've healed. But there's still something there that always needs to, it's always work in progress. So look, other things we can provide is provide comfort and reassurance when we practice self-compassion. That's what it provides with us. It is comfort to ourselves, to our soul, to our inner child. Reassurance in when we face the shame again, when it comes again. But just recently, this is an appropriate topic because just the other day, the universe showed me that I need to feel shame and guilt because of a circumstantial thing with my relationship just the other day. And I really felt I could go into hate and anger, but I'm so proud of myself. You know, I can see the shame and guilt, and then the guilt has transformed me into... that made me go into a higher level of awareness and into the light. So I'm acknowledging my pain, my suffering, without judging it, without attaching into a level of vibration of anger or hate or something like that. We're all just human trying to do our best. And some of us are on different conscious levels, and I understand that. And understanding also forgiveness is powerful. And this can help soothe the intense emotions, you know, associated with shame, and creates a sense of safety and acceptance within ourselves. And we need that to jump over the hurdles of anxiety. Yeah, we need to be able to soothe the intense emotions, okay? The striking of the amygdala is the emotional center of ourselves and our brain. It also encourages growth and learning. So self-compassion fosters a growth mindset by emphasizing self-importance rather than self-condemnation. Better love here. Get the light in. You know, instead of dwelling on the past mistakes, self-compassion allows us to learn from them and make necessary changes moving forward. Okay? It helps us recognize that we are capable of growth. We are worthy of growth and transformation, even in the face of shame. Building resilience is one of my favorite ones. Shame can be really deeply challenging and painful emotions, negative. And this is one of the things that keeps creating anxiety. Some of us are actually stuck so stuck on the lower vibration frequency that we can't get out. And this thing, shame, keeps us trapped like the puppets controlling, like mentioned earlier, the puppeteer is calling and pulling our strings. Isn't it time to get the fuck out of this place, out of this thing? Sorry to swear, but isn't it time just to confront this thing and really nurture your inner child and start developing this resilience, yeah? The providing foundation. So self-acceptance, self-worth is the catalyst from compassion and how we deal with it. The moment we can start dealing with the shame and going in deeper, journaling, you know, really going deep, we can find that what we are ashamed about, and we maybe cut loose from that. And yeah, it is like a buffer away from shame, from compassion. Practicing self-compassion now involves treating yourself with kindness, understanding, acceptance, even at moments of shame. It also develops a healthy relationship with ourselves and cultivates a sense of worthiness and belonging. By embracing self-compassion, we can gradually heal, overcome shame, and foster a more compassionate, nurturing inner dialogue. Remember, our inner child in there is unhappy. How often, when you look at a mirror, if you look deep enough, you'll see the inner child, the suffering, the shame, the guilt, all the silly pictures from the past, self-images, self-impressions of the mind. Yeah, but it's time now to heal. It's time to nurture and cultivate the self-compassion. Yeah, I think I've really enjoyed this part, and I think it's now time to go into our meditation for this evening on this topic. And let's kind of winding down. I'm just getting into the wonderful meditation we're about to receive. Winding down, taking it easy. I've excited you. My excitement of sharing this wonderful message with everyone. So just center in and go into your pause. And I'm really happy that you guys who are regularly practicing with me in the meditation, you're creating a neuropath of calmness, of peace, of self-nurturing, learning about your pause techniques. And just by participating with me and taking some time out, you are healing. You are learning to be more resilient and much more calmer, less reactive in life, just by meditating and being here and finding your space. So let's go on, and hopefully I can, I've got a little bit of battery in the phone left, but yeah, let's just take our positions and find the comfortable position. You can be either sitting down or lying down, and gently like close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and as you exhale, let go of any tension or stress in your body that you might have collected over the day. And just allow yourself to fully relax and be present in this moment. Present in this moment. Yeah. Let's take another breath. And exhale slowly. Feeling your lungs. Notice you're filling your lungs within 7 seconds. Within seven count, filling your lungs. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, inhaling. 3, 2, 1, holding, exhaling slowly for 7, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, feeling relaxed now. You've just arrived into your center. Let go of all your tensions and stress in your body. Let's just take a moment to acknowledge that you are here in the present moment, and ready to explore and release any feelings of shame and guilt that you may be weighing you down. And getting in touch with your inner child and really nurturing, taking some time now to really tap into your inner child, because it feels weighed down. and recognizing the shame and guilt are normal emotions that everyone experiences in times that do not define your worth, they do not define your worth or who you are as a person, but also realizing that everything was an impression. The inner child is kind of there as an impression in their minds, and it's kind of a living being, but it's on the subconscious level. And this shame attaches itself, and we just collect pictures from the subconscious. It's loaded with all these shameful pictures, images, and self-impressions. Now let's just breathe in and deeply and filling your lungs with air. And as you exhale, release any self-critical thoughts or judgments that may be lingering in your mind. Yeah, and just embrace the concept, the wonderful concept of self-compassion. Allow kindness and understanding to flow through your being, acknowledging that you deserve love and forgiveness just as anyone else, and just like your inner child who might have been abandoned, who might have not been loved. And forgive our parents for not doing this for us, because they didn't know any better, because their parents did the same thing to them. So it's kind of a ancestral thing. It's a chain, but we can break out of this chain. Let's just take a moment, have a gentle breath here. Notice your natural breath. Whew, that's a bit tough. Yeah, so as you continue to breathe deeply, imagine a warm, gentle light surrounding you. This light represents love, acceptance, and gently washing away any remnants of shame, guilt of this impressionable mind of ours. And just picture yourself in a serene natural setting, such as the peaceful meadows of a calming beach. And allow the beauty and the tranquility of this place to just envelop you, filling you with a sense of beautiful peace. And once again, let's just focus on your breath, the rise and the fall of your chest. Just notice that with each inhale, with each exhale. Let's just be there for a bit. And let your breath be a constant reminder of the present moment, grounding you in here and in the now. And now imagine yourself surrounded by supportive, understanding community, lovable human beings, warm. And visualize the friends and family, or even a holistic health coach who could provide love, acceptance, without judgment, and with lots of support. And reflect on the idea that everyone makes mistakes. Remember that mistakes are opportunities for growth and learning, not reasons for self-condemnation. Now take a moment to forgive yourself for any past actions, perceived failures. Repeat the phrase, "I forgive myself for any mistakes or shortcomings. I'm human and I deserve forgiveness." And engage in self-care activities that promote relaxation and self-compassion, whether it's taking a warm bath, going for a walk in nature, or indulging in a hobby you enjoy. Prioritize activities that really bring you joy, love, and peace. And challenge the belief that you have to be perfect. Embrace the idea that it's okay to be imperfect, and making mistakes is a natural part of life. Repeat the mantra, "I am free from the need to be perfect. I embrace my imperfection and I learn from them." And notice any negative or self-critical thoughts that arise. Take a step back and examine the evidence for and against these thoughts. Replace them with more realistic and compassionate thoughts, more loving, kindest thoughts. And as you breathe in, Imagine inhaling positive self-acceptance. Allow the feelings to fill your entire being. And as you exhale, release any remaining shame or guilt. Any remaining shame or guilt. And letting go of what no longer serves you. Bring your attention back now to the present moment. Notice the sensation in your body, the sounds around you, and the thoughts that come and go. Embrace the beauty of the present moment and let go of any attachments of the past. Remember, it's just the past. Remember that you are not alone in your experiences. Others have also faced shame and guilt and have found ways to overcome them. Take the inspiration from the stories of resilience and the growth. Allow yourself to feel vulnerable and open to healing process. Open up. Recognize that healing takes time and it's okay and to be patient with yourself. And just embrace the concept of progress that rather than perfection. Each step you take towards self-acceptance and self-forgiveness is a step in the right direction. And visualize yourself. Visualize yourself letting go of any heavy burdens that shame and guilt may have placed upon you, this false perception. See them dissipating in the air, leaving you feelings. You're starting to feel lighter and much more freer. And engage in mindfulness meditation, just like here, focusing on present moment without judgment or any attachment. Notice the sensation in your body, the rhythm of your breath, and the thoughts that come and go. And take a moment to reflect on the people who have shown you love, acceptance, forgiveness in your life, and bless them. Express gratitude for their presence and their support. And allow yourself fully to experience and express your emotions. Give yourself permission to feel without judgment or suspicion or suppression. Embrace the healing power of emotional release. Emotion release. Breathe in deeply now. Filling your lungs with air. And as you exhale, release any remaining tension or any negativity from your body. Feel the sense of lightness and peace wash over you. Remind yourself that you are worthy of love, acceptance, regardless of your past actions or mistakes. That person is not you anymore. Affirm, I am deserving of forgiveness and compassion. I am worthy of love and acceptance. And just open up to that. Be vulnerable. Yes. And allow yourself to fully experience and express your emotions. Give yourself permission to feel without judgment and feel the power of emotion release. And remind ourselves that we are worthy of love. We are worthy of compassion. Engage in activities that bring you joy and fulfillment, whether it's pursuing a hobby or spending time in the garden or in artwork, and invest time with loved ones or engaging in self-care. Practice prioritize activities that nourish your soul and bring you to a sense of fulfillment. and reflect on your strengths and accomplishments. Remind yourself of the times you've overcome challenges and shown resilience. You are brave. Celebrate your progress and acknowledge your growth. Now practice self-acceptance and self-love. Embrace all the parts of yourself, including the parts that may have caused you shame or guilt. Remember that you are a multifaceted individual with both strengths and areas for growth. Let's cultivate a mindset of forgiveness, and not only towards yourself, but also towards others, beyond everyone. Holding on to resentment or anger can contribute to feelings of shame and guilt, and even hold on to it like a puppeteer holds. The puppeteer holds us to this. Choose to let go of grudges and embrace forgiveness as a path to healing. And as you come to the end of this meditation, my friends, take a moment to express gratitude for yourself. Thank you. Recognize the strengths and courage it takes to confront and work through things of shame and guilt. Sometimes you can look into a mirror and you can see yourself. And trust that you are on a journey, on this journey of growth and self-discovery. And when you are ready, just gently open your eyes and carry the sense of self-compassion, acceptance with you throughout your day. Remember that you have the power to release shame and guilt and embrace a life of self-acceptance and inner peace. Friends, this has brought us to another segment or another episode of Holistic Health and Anxiety Coaching Program and episodes. Each one is like a chapter of a book, and I'm so happy that you've come up to the end of this in meditation. And this is Nick here, Nick Chancer from Holistic Health Anxiety Coaching. And if you feel inclined to get in touch with me, I'll be leaving my details, my calendar. If you wish, you want to book some private time, even for a consultation and a one-on-one, a free consultation, I'm most happy to make contact with you, and you know, I can help. So once again, I hope I see you, or hope you can hear or come to the next segment, the next episode. And so I'm wishing you a wonderful release, emotion release, and I'm so happy that we've shared the concepts of shame and guilt, and we just realized that there is none. It's just all made up, and it's all past impressions. I'm wishing you a wonderful, peaceful, happy day. And may we all rid anxiety one by one. You're not alone. Friends, namaste, all the best. Till next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.